Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Again, the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, HagmanReportLive.com. That's the website to go to, HagmanReportLive.com. I'd like you to do me a favor, coming out of the gate, when I ask you, we've got a YouTube channel, which, of course, you can access by way of HagmanReportLive.com. Look at in the program description box for the direct link. Or just click through in the video, and I'd like you to subscribe to the Hagman Report video channel. Even if you don't watch it, look, I understand people get busy, you know. Don't worry about it. The reason I ask for the subscriptions, I mean, we're north of 165,000. The numbers don't matter. I don't care. But what this does, it affects the algorithms of the, where the videos appear and how they appear and such. And also give us a thumbs up as well. You'll notice before we even start, we've got several thumbs down, which, you know, it happens. So anyway, I was on the David Knight Show earlier today, and I think it was at 10 o'clock this morning, Eastern, 9, Central. I think it was something like 10:15 or so. I had a great time with David Knight. It's been a while. Appreciate his asking me. Also, HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. Please frequent HagmanStore.com. Buy your coffee there. Significant proceeds go to assist Russ Dizdar, Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer, and Shatter the Darkness, Russ Dizdar. HagmanStore.com. It's gourmet coffee. Detective's Choice is good. Hyper-caffeinated. Obviously, all three blends are good. And my go-to is Detective's Choice, both in K-cups and whole bean. Interesting, wild lightning storm hits the Washington Monument. Hey, did you see the video on that? I think that was from last night. Interesting as that took place. Meanwhile, we have them? Okay. Meanwhile, just real quick, White House braces for the largest demonstration yet. That, and I suspect they're only going to get bigger. Now, that brings up a point real quick. And this is something I mentioned yesterday, and I'll mention this again today. I mentioned it this morning with David Knight. It was this. When you look at May 2020, this past May, you had 1.7 million guns sold during that period in May. Now, this is according to FBI background checks. It could be more based on private sales, but 1.7 million guns sold in May in 2020. Which represents an 80% increase over May of 2019. Theo, these ladies' buddies over here, in case you hear the scratching. April, a 70% increase over April of 2019. 3.5 million guns purchased in the last 60 days. Well now, what does that tell us? With me is Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. ProvisInstitute.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, get his book, Saving the Constitution. To me, it's required reading for people who watch the show, who listen to this show, and that is Saving the Constitution. Go to ProvisInstitute.com and order your copy today. While you're there, order the Liberty Series and all of the other books to the extent that you can. I'm telling you right now, however, the most important book of our lifetime, I believe, is Saving the Constitution, because this is what we need to do. Here with me is Dr. Richard Proctor, normally on a Wednesday guest, but we had some, we didn't broadcast on Wednesday, so with me today, and I'm so happy to have him here with me, is Dr. Richard Proctor. Dr. Proctor, let's get right into it. And
Yes, let's get right into it.
Go ahead.
Very important stuff today.
All right. And
militia.
Yeah. Speaking of guns, it brings up the topic of the militia. So let's talk about that.
Yes, I was glad that you started with that particular piece of information. Let me back up here just a little bit. I don't want to be so huge I overpower everybody. Anyway, so militia. Let's look at what the Constitution says. Let's just start right there. Constitution in Section 1. I'm sorry, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15. The Congress is to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the land, that's the first one, suppress insurrection, that's the second, repeal invasions, that's the third. Folks, we're in the middle of an insurrection. This is not an invasion from outside. This is not people that we're having to enforce the, well, we have to enforce the laws. This is to suppress insurrection. Now, the next paragraph says Congress is to provide for the arming of the militia, and that doesn't happen. But let's go back to the purpose. The purpose of the militia is to suppress an insurrection. Now, that's very important because today we are in the middle of an insurrection. These are planned protesters. These are not people that are in your hometown. Oh, maybe a couple. These are people bussed from place to place to place. They've got caches of things established. They've got stuff. They're ready for you. And if we don't have some protection, we won't have any. How many communities? And I'm speaking of small communities mostly, but it doesn't matter. How many communities have enough policemen to take care of a mob of 500, 600 that could be bussed into your city? I mean, there was a, I can't remember, the name is in Idaho, and I have trouble saying it. It's Coeur d'Alene or something like that, up in Idaho, just east of Spokane.
You're right, Coeur d'Alene.
They heard the people.
Yep.
Yeah, Coeur d'Alene. They heard the people were coming. The people in that city gathered together with their guns, and they went downtown, and they stood around, and they waited, and the protesters came. They were bussed in from Spokane and from Boise. They came. But they stood around and talked and yelled and screamed and did stuff, but they didn't do any destruction. Then they left. And that's how it works. Those people are afraid of armed groups. You don't have to do anything, but you have to have it. Now that was spontaneous. The federal government should have authorized us to have militias. It did not stop doing that after the Civil War. It didn't go out of the Constitution. They just stopped doing it. So it would devolve to the state based on Article 6. We go to Article 6. That's important at this point. We go to Article 6. Well, they're all important. But Article 6, Paragraph 3 says, all members of the several state legislatures, all executive judicial officers, both of the United States and the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support the Constitution. Okay, now, if the federal government sets aside or doesn't do their task, and they abrogate it, they just don't do what they're supposed to do, then it devolves to the state, because of that paragraph, it devolves to the state to support the Constitution in their states. Now, they can gather today. It didn't take them any time. I don't know how big state of Utah, they can gather their 70 people without any trouble in just a few minutes, few hours, all over the state. They could come up, they could gather, they could pass a bill, a resolution, whichever, to authorize the communities to establish their community militias. Now let's assume that the state doesn't do that. Then the city's going to have to step in and assume that responsibility. Some folks talk about the sheriff. That's good, but the sheriff's over a whole county. Many, many people, many cities in a county. It's a good idea to have the sheriff involved. Absolutely. He's an elected official with vast authority. But the city, the local city, needs to actually have a militia of their own. Now, how do they do that? It isn't tough. They just set out an announcement through whatever means they want to do to the people of the city to come down and sign a document that says they're willing to volunteer. Don't bring your guns. Just go down and sign the document. You're willing to volunteer. You're willing to participate. In that group, there ought to be a few Marines, ex-Marines, and ex-Army. Not the Air Force guys. They don't know how to do nothing. But the infantry, the Army, the Marines, they do. There ought to be some people in that group that are veterans from those organizations that know what to do. The city should ask them to organize and put it together. Now, there's still the police department. They're there, and they have a purpose. But they can't repel this invasion. So they will station themselves around to see what's coming. keeping in touch with the surrounding cities. See what's coming so that we know, the militia knows where to go. Then the militia can be at the roads with blockades. They can be in the places where these people would come in and prevent them from even coming into the city to begin with. Here in Kaysville, we only have about, five roads that really come into the city. There's not many. So it could be, they could be monitored. The militia could do it. How much militia should there be? Let's assume that you have a group of 40,000 people. Now, just a small group. If we just take the adults of that, there'll be 20,000, maybe there'll be 15,000, I don't know. Then you take the old people and you get them out of there. Most of them wouldn't participate anyway. You take out, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,000. You're going to have 5 or 6,000 people left over, maybe even 10, 8, to be in that militia group. And if they appear, if they sign up and they go down as a mass, these protesters, quotes, these destroyers will not come. Why? Because they'll know you have a group of people ready to stop them. So they won't even come. But if they do come, all you have to do is shoot a few guns over their heads and they'll go away. They're cowards. They won't come if they think there's enough arms to keep them out. They're cowards at basic. But if we don't have anything, we stand vulnerable. And the minute we don't have anything at all, the communities that do will be bypassed to go to those who don't. Now, are they just concentrating on the cities? No, they have already had orders and they're already moving into the farmlands to destroy crops, to destroy cattle, livestock, to destroy barns, and community. Folks, we got to be ready. We've got to be ready. Now, I know farms usually aren't in the cities, but they're around cities. They're associated with cities. Police can keep track and know where these people are coming from. We must get together and stop this because the federal government's not going to stop it. If they do, let's assume that they say, well, we'll stop it. Who will they use? Well, they might send in the National Guard. The National Guard is a National Guard, okay, not a state guard, a National Guard. That's a federal organization, even though we pretend like it's a state organization. It's controlled, armed, everything by the national government. Once those people arrive, they may not go home, although these are usually citizens in the community. But if the U.S. forces arrive, they may not go home. Mm. You got to remember, this is not a coincidence. All of these things happening at this moment is not a coincidence.
Thank you. This is
something that just didn't happen happenstance. This has been planned. They're waiting for the spark to set it off. Did you have something to say?
No, Doug? You know, I want to ask you, okay, what you referenced, we saw armed individuals. I believe it was Court of Lone. I'm not sure where, but I've seen so many video clips. Armed individuals, people with AK and AR, AK-47s, AR-15s, handguns along a video clip I saw was along a white fence near a street intersection and then another one near another intersection. And protesters moving along. And it, by the way, polite. They were very polite, the protesters.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so my question is that by definition a militia, or is that just a ragtag group of people defending their property, as I agree with? I mean, regardless, either. But would that be by definition a militia, and would they be protected constitutionally?
No.
Okay, all right.
No, they are not.
Okay.
They did not get organized. Their names aren't on a list. They haven't got authority. You see, when you put your name on a list with a city, they'll give you authority. Now you have authority. You can do something, but they're not. They don't have authority. They can do stuff, but the way I see the way that our government works today, if you shoot a guy that's busted into your store and he dies, you'll be arrested. That's how it works today.
We've seen it, yeah.
That's how it works. But if you are an organized member of the militia, then you have the state authority, the city authority, some authority behind you, and therefore you can take action, officially take action. Folks, we've got to do something. We can't just sit back and do nothing at all. Now, I have prepared, because I had people call and write me for one, so I prepared a one-page thing about what I've just discussed about the militia. And I'm willing to send it out to anybody who wants me to. See, now let's see. We got color law going out. We got stuff about Amendment 13 going out. Now we got stuff about militias going out. I got quite a list. But these things are necessary in our society today. Right. We must do something.
We do. No,
go ahead, your thoughts.
Well, look, I believe, okay, this is, I guess going back to what you said earlier, pretty much says it all. What we're seeing here is indeed an insurrection. But, look, there's a lot of foreign influence here that people aren't talking about. Chinese influence, Russian influence, communist in general influence from foreign countries, but also from within, the indoctrination of our young people over the decades. This is where this is coming from. And I like what you said. None of this is happening by coincidence. This has been planned. And this, I believe, is the, not the final push, but the beginning of the final push toward, really taking down this republic of ours. So that's just my thoughts. And, whatever we need to look, I'm going to tell you right now, somebody comes in through over my threshold. Okay. Uninvited. They're not going to leave the same way they came in. So
I'm with you. I'm with you, Doug. I'm with you on that.
Militia or no militia. I mean,
if we form the militias and we're prepared, the government's less likely to do the next step very quickly. There is a next step coming, but if we resist now, that will lessen or push back the next step because they'll figure they haven't got us well enough controlled. They haven't got us good enough control. They're not controlling us well enough. So since they haven't, they'll go back. They'll continue to do more things to control us better and better through propaganda and school and all that kind of stuff to teach us that we're not supposed to rebel against the government. Although I'm reading here of Amendment 2, and the Second Amendment. Everybody talks about the last bit, bear arms shall not be infringed. Let's talk about the very first four words. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I don't know. A well-regulated militia be necessary, that's the word necessary, they didn't capitalize, but it could be, to the security of a free state. The security of a free state. Remember, when these people said state, they didn't mean the federal government. They meant the state of Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan, Virginia, Washington. They meant the state. You see, the Constitution is written to control the federal government. These instructions in the amendments and the instructions in the document are to control the federal government. So I would say that they meant this to say a well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of Pennsylvania. That's what I would say. That's okay. What that means. And that's its purpose.
And
the insurrection, go ahead.
No, I just want to point out to people at home, folks, if you have the book Saving the Constitution, I would point out that you could follow along with me on page 165. And this is why I highly recommend this book. It's spelled out so precisely. ProvisInstitute.com. People, I've got a couple of emails saying, why you keep pushing this book? Because you need it. We need it to understand what in the hell is going on and what we're supposed to be doing, not what we're necessarily what we're doing. Go ahead. And I'm not going to interrupt it further. Go ahead.
Oh, you interrupt all the time. I'll get carried away. No, the book, Saving the Constitution. Today, I would underline the title. You know how some people have subtitles on the cover?
Yes.
Saving the country. Saving the country. But saving the Constitution will save the country. But our country is on a thin line. These people want us badly. Now, you just mentioned the Russians and the Chinese, communists. Yes, they're a part of this. But we have the biggest armed force in the world in our citizens. You know, it happened in 41. Japan didn't come. Now, we don't know exactly why they didn't come. But after they finished off Pearl Harbor, they went back home. And There are reports that they went back home because they did not want to face the people of the United States who had guns behind every door. You see, we are the only country in the world that has that. I believe we were defended from invasion by the Japanese in 1941 because we had guns behind every door. Now we need to be protected against the invasion or the incursion or the insurrection of all of these people that are coming to us to destroy our country, no matter whether they're here in our country or whether they're from other countries. We still have guns behind every door. Even though the government doesn't want us to have guns behind every door, Amendment 2 says you got to have guns behind every door to keep your state free. That's what it says. You got to have guns behind every door to keep your state free. And those guns should be organized into a militia so that you've got authority to do things. Sheriffs organize posses. Do you remember, we watch it in the movies, they gave them a badge, said, you're in the posse now, go do stuff. See, they got authority from the sheriff to do stuff. Now, these were sheriffs in communities. Today, we have sheriffs in counties. They can do the same thing. They can do the same thing. And if the city wants to do it, they could. I'm not saying that they should, but they could give everybody police badges. Now they've got authority. Just hand them to them as they agree to be a part of the militia. I'm not recommending that. They don't have enough. But we need to gather and be officially authorized to do it. I agree that the people that are doing these things are heroes. Absolutely. And I hope they get away with it. I hope they get it done. But, you know, let me see. There was a fellow who was being beat up bad by the folks, by the protesters. They launched into him. And somebody shot somebody in protecting that individual. Someone shot one of the protesters. Do you know who they're looking for? The guy who shot one of the protesters. That guy ought to be given a medal, but that's not the reason they're looking for him, because he used a weapon. They don't want him to use your weapon. They want you to depend on them, and they can't do the job. But that's why, because since they can't do the job, we'll be overrun, and we'll ask them for martial law. That's what they want. They want us to beg, martial law, please come and see us. They want us to ask for the National Guard. Oh, please have the National Guard come. The next step will be, please, President, send the armed forces in. The step after that will be, please, United Nations, send your forces in. Help us. No, 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 no. Constitution provides for this. Organize your militia. You don't need any of those other folk. You've got a bigger force than those other folk already in every community.
And just to be clear.
Well, not bigger.
Well, and I agree with you on that. Now, I want to be clear on this, as opposed to being redundant, but I guess one helps the other. So to organize a militia, what are the steps? Again, briefly, what are the steps that you had mentioned?
Oh, I would mention this. Since I believe that it's going to have to be the cities that do it, then I would recommend the city send out an appeal for everyone, every able-bodied citizen to come down and sign to be a part of the militia.
All right.
Those that don't, they will come down, they'll sign. Then out of that group, they need to select people that have military experience. Then they're going to assign their police to help these people do their job. Police aren't going to stand down, but at least they won't be the only ones. Then you will be given authority in some mode by the city. Then you will have authority to act with the police in this effort. And now we've got a combined force that can do the job. But the police by themselves cannot. There's not enough of them.
And
we only have about 8 here in our community.
And the push is to defund and dismantle the police across the country by the leftist lunatics in charge. I mean, defund the police, Minneapolis, dismantle the police. I'm not even sure what that means.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Now, that means that they want to come in without any foe, or without any difficulty, without any harassment. They just want to come in. That's what that means. You know.
Well,
I knew you knew that.
Well, I mean, from the council, the Minneapolis council, the city council members are saying we're gonna review the structure of the police department, dismantle it, and recreate it. Essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here. But to me, I mean, that's like saying, well, it says what it says, you know, dismantling the police. And I don't see how that, I mean, when I say I don't know what it means, I don't know what would they end up with?
Why would it need to be reorganized? What's the purpose for that part of the sentence?
I don't know.
Set it up,
I
mean, militarily? Set it up with military guns, military weapons, armed vehicles, all that kind of stuff?
No, I was thinking of daffodils and rainbow flags instead of, you know, guns and riot vests. I don't know. I mean,
we might have, yes. But it's always scary when a government starts taking away protection.
Yeah. Yeah,
one wonders why. What's the motivation?
Well, so what you're talking about, and again, I apologize if I'm kind of scattered. I don't mean to be. We heard talk about invoking the Insurrection Act of 1807. Is that related to, would that be hand in glove with the militias in a sense? I mean, could it be or should it be? Or is the Insurrection Act even constitutional?
Well, you must remember that 1807, militias were unorganized in each state, each colony. They had militias. That's how the Revolutionary War was fought, was with militia.
Right.
The insurrection law of 1807, that's in between the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812. And people were, farmers were amassing against the government because the government was forcing them off their lands. There's a lot here to be done. You see, this is how that came about. The soldiers went home from the Revolutionary War to their family plots that they'd been on for decades. But they didn't have any money to borrow, to seed them, to plant the farms, because the government didn't have any money to pay them. And the money they did, the documents, the script that they did pay them with was worthless. So they went to the banks and they said, "You guys know us. We're good people. We'll take care of you. Please take care of us. We need seed so that we can plant our farms and get going again, but we can't afford to buy it." So the banks loaned them sufficient money to farm their lands. Then the banks and the farmers signed contracts that when the crops came in, they would pay the bank principal and interest. It was all arranged. It's normal business. All the farmers were out there and they were planting their crops and they were getting the job done. Here came the Bank of England. And the Bank of England said, "We're going to call in all our loans to all the United States banks." At that point, all banks belonged to maybe they all didn't, but most did, belonged to the Federal First Bank of America, First Bank of the United States. That's a central bank controlled that was a central bank controlled by Bank of England. Then those banks get instructions to get the money in gold and silver. No scrip and no, they got to pay it now. It's a debt now. So the banks, they were under obligation to go get gold and silver because their owners told them to. It's kind of like today, Federal Reserve, banks. Who owns the banks? Federal Reserve. Anyway, so they would go, they went to get the gold and silver, but they could not because the people didn't have any gold and silver, or they'd have used it to buy their food, their seeds. They didn't have any. So here came the sheriffs with legal writs to evict them from their property. And they did. The sheriffs were acting legally as they were compelled to act by the orders of the government. Or rather, the orders of the banks, because people didn't pay their bill when it was due. When they called it due, when they had to get the gold and silver. So they rebelled. And this went on generally all the time from the end of the Revolutionary War to the beginning of the War of 1812. When people ask me how long was the Revolutionary War, I say, well, when did it start? Oh, they say it started around 76, that time frame. When did it end? In 81? No, it didn't end in 81. It ended in 1816, after the War of 1812. The War of 1812 was finished, and the surrender was in 1815. So that's when it ended. It was 40 years, that neighborhood, 76 to 15. That's how long the Revolutionary War lasted. Why do I say that? The only thing that was different was we didn't do it with guns and tanks. Cannon didn't have tanks. Guns and cannon. That war was fought on the high seas by impressing sailors to come into the British armed forces. They stole them. They forced them on the high seas, and they just took them as slaves, you might say, and stuck them on their ships. And economically, they were destroying the country, the whole country. Economically, they were destroying. This was the continuation of the battle of the Revolutionary War. It fought with guns, ammunition, up in the Revolutionary time. It fought with guns, ammunition, in the 1812 time. It was fought with economics and politics in the interim, but it was still going on. Britain had not given up. Now, I want to point out something. Now, this is just an interesting chain of events. I cannot say that all of these things occurred, because if it did, it occurred in back rooms that were never written down. But I believe you can see this. Think about this for a moment. We had a Revolutionary War. We won 1881. We put together a constitution and set up our country. And in 1791, the first bank of the United States was established. The Revolutionary War was ended, and as soon as we had a government in operation, the first bank of the United States was established with a 20-year charter to 1811. That was established with the power of the Bank of England. That's how that was established. So then the Bank of England's controlling our and the First United States Bank is controlling our country economically, clear up until 1811, when that charter was not renewed. What happened next? Next year, here's a battle, War of 1812. And then that was signed, the treaty was signed in 15. And the next year, 16, we have another second bank of the United States established under the Bank of England. Then that bank went away because Jackson prevented the charter to be renewed in 1836. And then they came at us again economically and destroyed our economy again using banking and money. We've never one year later, in each case, do we think that all of this was just coincidental? I believe, although I can't find any documents to say this, I believe that one of the provisions of the surrender of the British forces, the treaty, you might say, of the Revolutionary War, contained a commitment to organize a banking system as soon as the government was in place. I believe that the treaty of the War of 1812 had a codicil in it that says you're going to organize another bank. And we did. Now, there's nothing that says that, but why else would it not happen? Now, let's go ahead to the Civil War. Civil War, we ran up a lot of debt in the Civil War. So the Civil War ended in about 64. Well, it ended in 64. And we didn't change presidents immediately. We shot one and then changed. Now, where are we? We're again still foisted with all this debt. And here comes 1870. And people don't know about 1870. 1870, our Congress passed a law giving our country to England. Really? Well, that's what really happened. They passed a law to incorporate our country. We stopped being the United States of America, and we started to be United States Corporation, USC Corp. You can find this discussion in detail in the very first part of Volume 2. Again, we're back under the Bank of England, because now we're owned by them officially. Well, what do you mean officially? What do you mean? Well, corporations are business entities. All corporations are owned by somebody. There is no corporation that isn't owned by somebody. Shares of stock are sold. Agreements are made in contract, but they are all owned by somebody. A corporation is owned. So if your city is incorporated, who's the owner? It's not you.
Shareholders.
There are no shareholders.
Okay.
The owners. The owners are USA Corp and the Bank of England. Every city, the states, I don't believe the states are organized as corporations. Every city, a corporated city, is owned through the chain of command by the Bank of England, because the Bank of England owns USA Corp.
You know, I read that. I did read that, by the way, folks, in the Liberty Series. It is in Volume 2 of the Liberty Series, provostinstitute.com. And I've seen this misrepresented on the Internet. What you've written, I've seen people have attempted to explain that, and it done horribly, and it actually done damage to what the truth is here. So what you're saying is, since 1870, we have been a corporation, the United States of America, right?
Yes. You notice that the name of the country is now capitalized?
Yes.
It wasn't capitalized before. It's all capitalized. That's official documents, official name. That's a corporation. Go ahead.
No, I just want to make sure that we're getting this correct here, because this, we're treading very closely to this, some of the frailties of the sovereign citizen movement. And I want to caution people to not put words where there are no words. Okay. So, yes. So the capitalization means something, correct?
Yes, it does. It means something. It is very vital that it be capitalized.
Okay. Do tell.
That's why it's capitalized.
Okay. Okay.
That's the way you do legal documents. I mean, I've organized corporations over and over again. They're all capitalized.
Right.
ProvostInstitute.inc. Okay.
Okay.
It's actually ProvostEnterprises.inc. All capped, all organized since 1993.
Okay. Now some people will say, that capitalization extends to names in all capitals, and we are nothing but, chattel or, chattel, a commodity that's being traded on the stock market. I've heard this, among people in the sovereign citizen movement. Your take on that, your thoughts.
My take on that is I cannot verify that just because the corporations are owning the cities, and because we have to have a social security number that was started in about 35.
Right.
We have to have that. We just had it when we got jobs. Now we get one at birth. Those things indicate that we are owned by the government. They indicate that, but they don't say it. It's not in, I don't know of any documents that comes forth and really says that, but it is intimated. So I won't buy into any of this sovereign movement. And the reason I won't buy into it is also because they sit around and say, well, we're going to have a new constitution. And there's the rub. Oh, we're going to follow the constitution. But when you get down into the nitty gritty, they're writing a new one.
Correct.
And there's the rub.
Correct.
They're violating the Constitution of the United States. We must not do that in any form.
Agreed. There's one constitution and we must save it. There's one constitution,
yes,
and we must save it. Saving the constitution. And I know, folks, I know you've heard, you've read, you've watched videos of these, I'll be polite, these individuals out there attempting to say, Well, yes. You know, we're owned by, you know, we're being traded on the stock exchange as commodities. So we need to redraft the Constitution essentially. And I'm paraphrasing again. I'm not quoting directly, but please understand what we need to do, and we need to save our original Constitution. And this book tells you how to do it. ProvisInstitute.com. And I want to thank you for clearing that up or addressing that, because, you know, it's really, you get some really, I'm telling you, these very dogmatic people and very spirited people, for lack of a more accurate term.
A person saw what I'm doing, and one individual asked another individual to look at what I was doing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And then he came back and says, well, what Constitution? And then he named the Constitution of the United States, or this one, or the other one. I don't remember what he named, because I don't want to clutter my mind up with garbage. But he named varying treaties that have been signed. Well, my thoughts are, if that's what you're going to call the Constitution, then maybe you better go back and call the Mayflower Compact a constitution. Maybe you could go back and call the Magna Carta a constitution. Which one are you going to choose? All of those are bent on going back, getting people back to freedom. The document that I am showing everyone in my book was ratified by the states in 1788. It was made the supreme law in 1788. It has not been replaced. Therefore, it is current. And don't be befuddled by all the garbage that's spewing out of people's mouths as they invent stuff.
Thank you.
That's the Constitution.
And there it is, folks. It's just that simple of an explanation. I like that. I don't want to clutter my mind with garbage, because that's exactly what does happen. All right, getting back to, if you want to continue, and if I did take you off topic with respect to militias, you know, I really believe we need to do something, or else we are going to lose our republic. We are going to lose our country. We've already lost a lot of ground, Dr. Proctor. Go ahead.
It's amazing how much ground that we've lost. Think about this for a moment. There are laws now that have taken away some gun rights, aren't there?
Yes.
Federal and state laws that have taken away gun rights. That's trampling the Second Amendment, okay? There are rules now that all churches are registered as 501c3 organizations, or they pay taxes. That's taken away the freedom of our religion. That's trampling on the First Amendment. There is all these, if you go through carefully and think about all the rules that have been slowly established, and you put down a red pencil and you go through the Bill of Rights with our stated 27 rights and perhaps stated 31. The reason I say that is because the Fourth Amendment can be construed as having four there, five there instead of one because of the way it's worded. But I just called it one. That, you'll get your red pencil out and your Constitution will look like it's in red. Now let's go back to the basic document. Why it started right there in 1790, when they redlined 30,000 for each representative. Then it went into 1891, when they redlined the fifth paragraph of Section 8, Article 1, where it talks about the Congress is responsible for money and the value thereof. Then they redlined the treaty stuff in 1796, when they took land from a citizen and gave it to England because of a treaty. Therefore, the treaty was put above the Constitution. So they redlined lines of Article 6. And I can go on and on and on. We are losing our entire basis, our entire culture, by increments. We call it Hegelism. That's the concept that there is a synthesis in the middle, and there is a thesis on one end and an antithesis on the other, or an antithesis. I call it how you want. But what happens is, let's assume that the thesis is freedom. And the antithesis is they want to take away freedom. The synthesis is in the middle at the moment. So the guys that want to take away freedom, they say, okay, no more speaking in public, period. And back and forth it goes until we begin to say, well, they'll back away a little bit. Oh, you can speak as long as you don't say these words, you can talk. Now we're going to take all your guns. Well, no, you're not. So as long as we just take these guns, then it's all right. You see, just a little bit. And each time they move that, it moves the antithesis a bit to the direction of the thesis. And the synthesis moves also. Slowly but surely, the two come together. When the two come together, the antithesis folks have taken over the government. Nose in the tent flap. The camel was out in the snow, in the sandstorm. And the Arab was inside his tent, comfortable. And the camel said, can I just put my nose in? Well, that's all right. Can I put my jaw, my cheek, can I put my eyes in? Can I put my head in? And before long, the Arab was outside in the storm and the camel was in the tent. And that's how it's done. They don't bite off a big chunk. We would rebel. They bite off a little chunk and then another little chunk and then another little chunk. If you now look at all the little chunks that have been taken out of our Constitution, it would be nearly all red. And that's what I mean when we're losing our rights. That's what Doug means when he says, look at all the stuff we've lost. We do not have a constitution at this day like the one the founders wrote. I mean, look at the amendments. Here we have an amendment that says, that takes out three words in Article 1, Section 3. We have an amendment. It's the 14th Amendment. It takes out I'm going to read it right here. This is paragraph 3 of section 2. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. Now let's go to the 14th Amendment. And we'll read that. It's just right here, the 14th Amendment. And the second section says, representatives shall be apportioned among the several states. Did you see how the words and direct taxes were removed? They were just redlined out. Taken out by that amendment. The contract was changed. Therefore, according to contract law, it's illegal, so that doesn't count. But what we've done is we've accepted that because we, the citizens, don't know anything about contract law as it pertains to contracts in government. We don't pay any attention. Oh, that doesn't matter. If you read the first section of Article 4 of the 14th Amendment, it talks about people being citizens of the United States. It says it very clearly. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. They redlined the words and subject to the jurisdiction thereof and changed it to say everybody born in the United States is a citizen. Looks what's happened, but they've redlined those words that say naturalized or subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Those words were redlined. And you could go through the Constitution, as I've done, over and over and over again and see all these lines being redlined. And it's removing our rights. We have millions of illegal aliens who people are trying to give citizenship to because they're here. We have millions of, they call them anchor babies. Anchor babies aren't citizens. The Constitution says you've got to be born in the United States and be under the jurisdiction of the United States. They were not. Therefore, they are not. But that's not how it's been defined. And the government has done it to us, and we have allowed them. They didn't change the Constitution. They just struck it out without changing it. That's going on every day. Every day. Some people say if we took Congress, the Congress of the United States, we send them home and never let them go into the office and paid them anyway, we'd be money ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Saving the Constitution, folks. Grab your copy. If you haven't done so, order it now while you still can get it. And I say that, and I mean that. Go to provisinstitute.com, provisinstitute.com. Get your copy, Saving the Constitution. I'm following along with Dr. Proctor as he goes through this. What's taking place right now, which you've seen since our last get-together, we were off on Wednesday, which I'm glad you're here today, and then but over the last week, 9 days, anything that concerns you the most that you want to address that you've seen happen over the last, since you've been with us last 9 days ago?
Yes. Yes, 9 days ago. When we were talking 9 days ago, we were spending our time on color of law and the way to get that out. And people responded. Oh, I send out hundreds of the package, the two attachment package that has the color of law and the amendment showing the law, section 242, and the package that shows how to use the law if you're accosted. I've sent out hundreds of those. Should have sent out more than those. Just takes me a second or two to do it. You send in an email and ask for it, and I send it, just take click, 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 and I've got it. But since that day, we have had a storm that started the following Friday. I guess it was Friday, that weekend. A person was allegedly, I'm not positive it really happened, but was killed by a policeman pushing his foot down on his throat and strangling him to death. I'm not sure that really happened. That is very possibly a false flag, but I don't know that, so I'm not saying it is. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it is, but it could be. We get them all the time. Anyway, see, so that started the riots, and the riots have escalated beyond all measure. One person murdered, and now we have whole cities in ruins? Ah, that was planned. So since that was planned, the spark had to occur, and the spark very easily could have been a false flag. Government's done that to us over and over and over again. Just think about all the stuff that happened in the Las Vegas shooting. Everybody claims one guy upstairs. Oh, couldn't possibly be. Couldn't possibly be. But anyway, let's not get into that because we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the Constitution. All I'm trying to say is the government has a pattern of every time they need something or want something, they cause a crisis and then they get it. That's the pattern. Let's talk about World War I. That's the pattern. Here's the pattern. Worked like this exactly. A man named Woodrow Wilson ran for president. A second term. Okay? Second term. 1916. Ran for president. Was inaugurated in 17. Okay? There you have it. Fact. He was elected because as president during his first term, he kept us out of the European War. Okay? That's why he was elected. He was elected by a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people voted for him because he kept us out of the war. Then our government hired an advertising agency. And that advertising agency worked with people in England to produce copy, script, that they could inundate the American people with how bad the Huns were. They were murdering babies. They were doing this, oh my, oh, and it was all made up in the basements in England. But the advertising agency used it. Now, Wilson was elected in November of 15. Within just 6 or 8 months of that advertising, everybody in our country wanted to go to war. We gotta go to war. And then the Lusitania was sunk. Now, the German embassy attempted to put advertisements in the newspapers of New York to keep the people off that boat. The German embassy knew they were going to sink that boat. And so they announced it. Stay off that boat. And our fourth branch of government, the media, didn't print it. It was printed out in the Nebraska. No. I wish I could remember all the names I want to remember all the time. When you get to be 105, you forget things. But anyway, that's the only place that article was, that announcement was published. That's why we have it. People got on the boat, unknowing that the German embassy had tried to tell them not to. Now remember, we're on a war footing now because of the advertisement. Then the Lusitania was sunk. These citizens were on it and we were in an uproar and we ran to join to fight the Hun that was destroying babies and destroyed our people on the Lusitania. Oh, we went so fast and hard. Guys, it was all planned. Let's back up just a little bit further. We're back in 1914, Christmas of 1914. World War I had been going on for a while, but they had a Christmas break, you might say. And what occurred during that 3 or 4 days is that the German soldiers and the Allied soldiers all got together and celebrated Christmas together. And they played baseball and they did stuff and they traded mementos. They did all kinds of stuff. Now the war's ready to start again after the Christmas break. And those guys wouldn't fight. So the governments moved them to the back, brought in new guys, and the war continued. Now let's move forward, forward to 17. There was no money left to fight World War I. None. Zippo, zero. They were out. So Wall Street in the United States funded both sides. And away we went, off and going. Keep that war going at all costs. Governments cause all these things to occur. That's the pattern. Watch for the pattern. If you see the government wanting something, watch for the pattern. They want our guns. So we have slaughters all the time in schools and in areas. They want our guns. Every time somebody gets killed in a gun shootout, the pattern is that the government jumps in and says, oh, we got to take the guns, got to take the guns, got to take the guns. And nobody pays any attention to the fact that guns save more lives than they hurt. And the only people that hurt people with guns are criminals, and they're not going to give their guns up anyway. So where's the rationale here? The pattern is the government wants something. The government causes something. Mm. I think you can point to that same pattern. Read the New American from the John Birch Society, and they are a good organization. Read the New American about the Oklahoma City bombing. Read the information about the 9/11, and you'll discover that the government needs something, a war in Iraq, so they did something. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, my. That's the pattern, folks. That's the pattern. Watch for the pattern. It always happens. And the media, the fourth branch of the federal government, make sure we know about it in spades.
We've got their playbook. We've got their playbook.
Yes.
And I'll tell you.
I've written it. It's the Liberty Series writes all these things down so you can see them.
I was just going to say that. Folks.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have interrupted.
No, I'm glad. I just want people to really know. Everything that Dr. Proctor is talking about is contained, the backstory is contained in the Liberty Series. If you've ever wondered about, wow, you know, the Lusitania, the World War I, everything he talked about today, how we have been played. We're chumps. We are a bunch of chumps. We've been played. It's in the Liberty Series, and it's a great series. Go to provisinstitute.com and, as well, Saving the Constitution. Everyone should have this because it's in plain speak. And not that the Constitution necessarily needs translated, but it's in plain speak. And Dr. Proctor did an excellent job of pointing us in that direction. With about a minute left here, a minute and a half. I can't believe how quickly time flies when you're on. What should we be in the next minute? I'll just turn it over to you.
I'd just like to spend a second on the book, the Liberty Series and the Saving the Book, Saving the Constitution. Just a minute on that. I spent a lot of time writing the Saving the Constitution book. You don't have to spend that time. I did that, and I did that because of all the background that I learned about everything that's been going wrong with the Constitution. It's not just, you don't just need to read the book. You need to also have all the background of how it's been violated. And that's all in Saving the Constitution. So I know you could pick up the Constitution and read it and you'd be okay. But to have all the background and all the explanations of why each of these things happen and how they happen and what causes them and what occurred and where the pattern is, that's the rhetoric. That's the writings of Saving the Constitution. That's why you need that book along with the Constitution you keep in your pocket. But the one that you're going to get has the Constitution in it. Absolutely perfect also. Capitalization, punctuation, all the words exactly right as it was written in 1777. The best we know. The best we know.
Absolutely anyway, perfect. Great timing too. I love this book. And I should have mentioned as well the perversions attempted and ultimately made to the Constitution contained here as well. Saving the Constitution, important book. The Liberty Series, folks. Oh, this is great. You can spend a lot of time studying this. ProvisInstitute.com. Hey, do it this weekend. Buy these this weekend. I want to hear from Dr. Proctor that, 10 million books went out.
I've got them. Well, I'd like to hear that too. I've got them.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Proctor. I appreciate your time. We're going to see you next week, regular time, all right?
Yep. Regular right. time on Wednesday. We'll right. talk about more stuff.
Good. All right, bye folks. Bye. That was Dr. Richard Proctor. ProvisInstitute.com, in case you haven't been there. Please do that and get the book, Saving the Constitution. Hey, some more on the other side with Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Before you go, however, make sure you check out HagmanStore.com. Get your coffee. Get some pep in your step. I need the bean. HagmanStore.com. Going to be right back.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. No matter how hard they try, you can't silence us. 1.7 million guns sold in May. 80% increase over 2019, and then 70% increase the month before, totaling 3.5 million gun sales this year in a 60-day period. It's interesting, too. This just boggles the mind. University of Washington infectious disease specialist letter of June 3rd, at least reported on June 3rd, openly supporting protests over social distancing guidelines. Boy, did they change their tune. Why? Because according to them, and I mentioned this, I think it was yesterday, I'm not sure, because white supremacy is a legal public health issue that predates and contributes to COVID-19. Okay. Yeah, right. Celebrities sign open letter to defund police departments. Yep, okay. And other crazy lunacy that we're seeing taking place. Speaking of defunding police departments, there's this big deal going on in Minneapolis. We're going to have to restructure, defund and take down the police department. Of course, that's the city council. Here to talk with me about all of this madness and deeper and more, Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Now, here's the thing, folks. Look, healthmasters.com, in addition to information on their show every weekday, in addition to that information you're getting in their hour-long show with Ted and Austin Brower, it's live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Go to healthmasters.com, click on the link for their show, and listen. In addition to that, you can treat yourself. Well, that's probably not the right phrase. Purchase the nutritional supplements, the best on the planet, in my view, nutritional supplements, whether it's an multiple vitamin, the powder, or, and by the way, new flavor in that. Oh, is that good? Vitamin C, B, whatever. Go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. All one word, healthmasters.com. HR5 is the coupon code, at least until Monday at midnight. It's HR5. Take advantage of it now. Get the products, because you know what's coming. You're going to want to feel, I don't want to say good, but you're going to want to feel able to fight what is coming. And I fear what is coming. When I say I fear, not in the fright sense, but I'm concerned about what's coming. in the short term. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, hey, Doug. Thanks so much for having me on today. I want to kind of talk about these riots for just a minute that are happening all over the country. I personally got involved in one of these things the other day. We actually were driving down Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland, Florida, which is it turned out to be the epicenter of the bust-in Antifa folks here in Central Florida. It's a city of about 100, 150,000 people. It's the largest city in Polk County where I live, and Polk County is the largest county in the state of Florida with major corridors of Interstate 4, Highway 27, Highway 92, all transecting, you know, the county. So we have a lot of people coming through the county on a regular basis, and I guess they decided they were going to make Polk County their epicenter. So last Friday, we decided we were going to drive down Memorial Boulevard on the way home because we had heard there was going to be a rally over there, just some type of, you know, group meeting that was going to basically tell us about how bad white people were. And when we got there, they had blocked like a 16-lane intersection. I mean, it was crazy. It was like four lanes going to four lanes, going to four lanes, going to four lanes, and plus turn lanes. And we got stuck at a red light switch that was basically was only letting one lane pass. These folks from Antifa had actually come in and gone into all of the turn lanes in the intersection and parked their cars and opened their doors. I kid you not, and just abandoned their vehicles just to block the intersection. You couldn't turn any longer, and they had blocked the road so you couldn't go straight, couldn't turn. And they were doing a general nuisance of themselves. They had broken out one windshield already earlier that day, vandalized one car that tried to go around them. And I'm sitting there in my pickup truck. And so in the meantime, while I'm waiting there, I went ahead and made sure that I was well-armed. My guns were locked and loaded. You think, well, that sounds kind of silly. I mean, what are you going to do with 2,000 to 3,000 people that were there? Not much, to be honest with you, but I would have driven away as best I could, including using the truck as a battering ram if they decided to focus their anger and frustration on the burgundy pickup truck. So anyhow, we got about to the point of the intersection, and you know, one lane was moving. Luckily, we were in that one lane, and we had gone through like six red light changes. It had been about half an hour, and we were watching everything unfold, and they were bringing in buses, Doug, and unloading people, and I'm quite certain they were people from out of state or out of county anyhow, and they decided they were going to ransack and go through Polk County. Well, by the time I got to the front of the line on this one lane that was slightly moving, I went ahead and called 911, and I called the operator, and they said, have you been in an accident? Are you injured? I said, no, but I tell you what, you guys need to send some people down here to the intersection of South Florida Avenue and Memorial Boulevard, Highway 92. We have a group of people that are blocking the intersection. There's several thousand of them, and this thing's about to escalate, and it's getting bad. They're acting wild. And she said, well, we've already dispatched them once, but they came back. And my response was, why didn't you come back? You need to be back out here to get rid of these people, and so they can at least dot block intersections. If they want to do this, let them go out to a park somewhere. And so by that time, luckily, I got through the intersection, and I drove on, you know, freely, unmolested on my way on the westward way home. And then when I got home,
and we got frozen up there, Ted. Hang on a second. We got frozen up. Okay, go ahead. You got home.
Grady Judd had basically sent a whole group of sheriff's officers there, and they basically dispatched the people refused to break up this potential forming riot, and he just dumped a bunch of tear gas canisters right into the group and sent them all home. Then he got on TV here locally, and you may have seen it, maybe Breitbart, and said that the people in Polk County are armed.
Yep.
He urged them to be armed, and that we like guns. And that if these people who are coming in were to break into our homes and to steal from us or to basically burn our homes, that he wanted to use the guns that we had to blow them back out of the house, basically endorsing us killing them if they came in our house. And let me tell you what, you talk about quashing down a doggone potential riot. Jeez, just the next day they had another one they were scheduling in Auburndale. And Austin went to that one, by the way, and I went to the staging area, and they brought several MRAPs over and didn't bring them out so people could see them, kept them in a staging area in case it went to a riot level, and it was quiet. There were some people there that were Antifa, dressed in the masks, you know, the helmets, the whole bit, and they were as quiet as church mice because everybody's standing out in front of the shops, loaded up, ready to shoot, and we'd had enough of it in our town. And Grady Judd basically said, and this didn't happen in Polk County. Not here, not now, not ever. See, guys, this is the important thing we need to all understand. you have a right to defend yourself. I don't know what's going on with these big cities actually furloughing their police departments now and saying they're going to disband their police and allowing these rioters who they say are basically caught up in 400 years of slavery, which none of them have ever been a slave, should be allowed to ransack the city and destroy businesses that don't have any type of insurance for this after they've been closed down for months already and their inventory is being taken. This is a nightmare. This is happening in the United States of America. This is exactly what they did in Russia with the Tsar Nicholas in the early 1900s. It took about 20 years for these continuing protests and riots to build to the point that the Tsar finally turned the troops loose on them. He started shooting them and running them down with horses and all this kind of stuff. If you watch the movie Dr. Zhivago, it talks about this and it shows this, and it even calls these people who were against these people, you know, who were running the country, they called them Antifa. That's where that term actually came from, anti-fascists. And this is a movie called Dr. Zhivago. I think you guys have probably all seen it. But the crazy part about all of this is, though, here we are. Exactly what I told you guys 2 years ago when we discussed the Frankfurt School in depth and why the Frankfurt School was established in Germany in the 30s and in the 20s, actually started in the 20s at Goethe University to try to determine why the German people in the 20s refused to accept communism, why they were such staunch nationalists, and why they did not want to have their country taken over by the communist international banking cartels out of Russia. The Rothschilds basically financed all of this stuff. And so this university, this think tank, this group of professors left Goethe University in 1933 and came to the United States to form the Frankfurt School, of which they then began to teach the social revolutionaries the communist mantra of how to take over a country, basically through social welfare programs, all of the stuff that we see with Cloward and Piven, Bill Ayers, all of the stuff we see with all these communist people from the 50s and the 60s, with the Red Scare over Hollywood, with the McCarthy hearings, all of this was a reaction to and caused by the Frankfurt School. So now we have found ourselves here now where this group of subversives or communist reactionaries who hate white people, you know, who hate anybody who basically stands for nationalism, they want to destroy the United States of America. And they're openly rioting in streets all across the U.S. And again, all of this is being done because they're trying to bring in their 1,000 points of light, their New World Order, which is all based out of the Kabbalah, which we've talked about many times on your show. And it's also based out of the high levels of Freemasonry, which is the ones who started the United States. And all of this stuff has now come to pass that here we sit and we're watching this stuff unfold. And the sheriff and the local police departments are the ones who are supposed to be protecting us. But in reality, we have to protect ourselves, because Grady Judd has said many times, I'd much rather have you standing there with a gun in your hand than having a police officer on the phone. And so now we find ourselves in a situation where Trump basically has set up a Praetorian guard, so to speak, around the White House. And I quite frankly, I can't blame the guy for this. I mean, with the rioting and the looting, he said he went down to inspect the bunker in the White House. Other people say that he actually retreated to the bunker. I don't know. Don't care. The point is this. It's gotten to the point now where these guys are playing for blood, Doug. They really want a revolution. I have a friend of mine who's now dead. May he rest in peace. And he was a German immigrant. And he spent most of his life down in South America, spoke five languages, had a German bakery, and he married a woman who was a hardcore communist. And I'd never been exposed to a person like her before. And she was a hardcore socialist. In fact, he had a very, very successful bakery, and I'm sure she's probably taken over the bakery now. But the point is, she was raised down in South America under communism, and she is still a tried and true socialist communist to the core. When Donald Trump won the election, her husband told me that she literally was on the floor for weeks, crying, kicking and screaming, carrying on. And finally he told her, you've got to stop this. You're no longer functional. And every time I tried to talk to her about how the entire political structure of the United States had been compromised, it didn't matter whether it was a Democrat or Republican, that these guys were bought and paid for or being blackmailed by higher levels, that we had a completely and totally corrupt system that we were having to deal with, it didn't make any difference. She was so completely sold out, Doug, to being a socialist and being a communist, that if you ever said anything good that Donald Trump did, she'd start screaming. I mean, I'm not kidding you, start screaming, and got unbelievably angry if you ever say anything bad that Barack Obama did, which we could prove, like with Fast and the Furious and IRS Gate and all the rest of it, she would start screaming. And you said, I would say to her, I said, do you know this is true? You can't say this about Barack Obama. And I'm like, but it's true. Here are the documents. Well, I don't care. And it's almost like a blind had been put across her eyes. The Bible says there's a veil that's been put around the across the eyes of the unbeliever by the evil ones. They not may not believe or know the truth or see the truth. So their eyes cannot see, ears cannot hear. And so this is where we find ourselves now. We have been told programmed now since 1933 through Gloria Steinem and Playboy and all the rest of this stuff that we now have lost the America, Doug, that you and I were raised in. And you and I, not necessarily you and I, Doug, because we've stood in the gap and we've been on talk shows now for, I've been on it for 30, 40 years, and you've been on it for decades. We've stood in the gap trying to tell the people what are going on. But the vast majority of our age group have been so dumbed down by fluoride, by statin drugs, by tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin reuptake inhibitors and all these different things they're put on. There's 20 or 30 medications some of these folks are on. Their brains don't work anymore.
And some are just
so they
crazy.
They can't see what's going on.
Yeah, Doug,
and some of them are just nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and if, well, you know, it's so funny. It's funny you would say that. There are just people out there that I've tried to have relationships with over the years. Some of these people are family members. Because, you know, we can pick our friends, but we can't pick our family. And finally, you just have to just shake your head, walk away and say, these people are nuts. Let me give you a perfect example. I had a friend of mine in Tallahassee. And he had a wife, and he was taking her to the counselor, and they were having a lot of marital problems. This lady was sick all the time. Said she was suffering from high blood pressure, depression, diabetes. I mean, just, you know, had potential cancer. I mean, was irritable, nervous, bloated, depressed. I mean, everything you possibly believe she was, you know, PMS all the time, always sick. And this guy was a doctor, and he had given her a protocol to follow as far as a dietary protocol to follow along with supplements to take. And when this woman took this stuff, she didn't have these symptoms, but she wouldn't take them. She wouldn't take them. And these are natural supplements and eating clean. And so they end up in a marriage counselor. And the marriage counselor said to this lady, let's call her Susie. Her name wasn't Susie. Let's say her name's Susie. Susie, is it true that if you follow the doctor's program that you don't have irritability or nervousness or depression and you're not constipated, that you feel great, that you don't have any headaches and you've got tremendous energy and you have a great outlook on life? And she goes, yeah, it's true. If I take this stuff, I feel absolutely wonderful. And he said to her, he says, well, do you take it? She goes, no, I don't take it. Was it true you have all these symptoms? She goes, yeah, it's all true. And he goes, well, do you think that's really fair to your husband? And she goes, I don't care. I just don't want to take it. And later on, this gentleman told me that the counselor had told him that he no longer needed to see the husband, but he's going to take years of psychotherapy with the wife. But he said the problem is she was nuts. Basically, those are the words he used. She was nuts, and that she was unwilling to change or listen or pay attention to what really was going on in her life. And sure enough, they ended up getting divorced, which is pretty easy to figure out. And she came down with cancer immediately after they got divorced. And the sad part about all of this stuff, Doug, is this is not a random occurrence. And I'm not saying it's just women. Guys can be the same way. They can do unbelievable. If you know you shouldn't do something, but you continue to do it. Like I talked to a guy last night. He had throat cancer. And he basically had to have all the stuff cut out of the back of his throat. He can barely talk. He talks like this. And, you know, it sounds awful, but he can still talk. And he's still smoking cigarettes and still drinking booze and still doing the very same things that caused him to have that to start with. And I said to him last night, I said, well, do you think just maybe you need to cut out the cigarettes? Yeah, I know that. Okay. But the point is, now I'm not saying he's crazy. I'm just saying he doesn't want to do that because, you know, nicotine is very, very, very addictive. But there are people out there, Doug, that are just nuts. And I've seen them. You've seen them. And, you know, there's one thing that I'm going to stop here. I'm going to make a lot of people mad right now. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There's one thing you got to be really careful with, and that's cats, C-A-T-S. You say, well, cats, what does cats have to do with this conversation? Cats carry a parasite in their feces. It's called toxoplasmosis, and it's from handling cat feces and litter boxes and all of this stuff. And, you know, petting the cats and cats licking their butts and all of the above. And this is a brain parasite that you can get into humans. And it can make you nuttier than a fruitcake. I mean, it actually lives inside of the human brain. And that's why you always hear about these crazy cat ladies who have 40 cats who basically can't control the fact that, you know, they have these crazy weird ideas about stuff and all this other kind of stuff. And what happens is this cat parasite is specifically designed for rats and mice, because when they eat the feces of the cat, they get this thing in their brain and it starts making them want to crave cat urine. So they start looking for cats. And of course, when they look for cats, the cats find them and the cats eat the mice and the rats. It's like a weird symbiotic kind of thing to feed the cats and the whatever. And it also gets in the brain of humans. And, you know, and I'm not saying that everybody has a cat has toxoplasmosis. I'm not going to say that, because that's simply not true, because some people are very, very careful when they handle cat feces. But guys, be really, really careful, because this lady who this guy knew in Tallahassee, she had cats. And the problem with all of this ends up being that, you know, when we have any kind of pet, whether it be a dog or a cat, just keep them clean. Keep them wormed. Make sure you wash your hands after you handle the animals. Don't be touching your face or your food or whatever after you handle the animals, especially if you're having to clean up behind them. Just make sure that you're careful. When I had the clinic back in the 80s, we had a parasite test kit that we could use on folks that came into the office for biochemical testing. And one of the things we tested for were parasites, and invariably, literally over 90% of the people that we tested had some type of ringworm or hookworm or pinworm or tapeworm or some type of parasite. And it was odd to me that people don't realize that this is a major problem in the United States today, and it's a major problem, one of the primary causes of death globally with parasitic infestations, especially in the third world countries. So just be really, really careful when you're around livestock or handling animals. That's why when you go to places like the Biltmore Estate, they used to have this petting zoo, and they had all of these different animals you could pet, and they had big sinks there with soap. You had to wash your hands when you left. Same thing is true when you come in from other countries. They'll ask you, have you been at a farm? Have you been around livestock? Have you been around, you know, these types of animals? And they want you to answer truthfully, because, you know, you'd be carrying these parasites or these things on you. And now we see this so often now true with this coronavirus. The coronavirus, and I told you guys, is back in January that it was transmitted through feces, that people would basically wash their hands that were contaminated with coronavirus. The body was shedding the virus through the feces. And when it got on their hands, if they didn't wash their hands and they touched their face or touched something else that somebody else touched, they would end up transmitting this disease. Same thing with flu or colds, you know, this coronavirus. And so finally, people are starting to realize how important it is to practice proper hygiene, to wash your hands when you go to the bathroom, not to touch the handles or the doorknobs or the sinks or the flushing handles, how to use paper towels when you exit the bathroom so you don't touch the doors, and how when you sneeze, you need to put your face down the side of your shirt and sneeze or whatever, but you gotta not spread this stuff everywhere. And now, finally, the people in America have started washing their hands. Now, you're saying, well, coronavirus ended up burning itself out. Yes, it did. I mean, and now we see the death rates much lower than they had anticipated, because people started taking care of themselves. They started washing their hands. They started taking vitamin C, D3, potassium iodine, zinc, and they started building their immune systems. They were able not to come down with this stuff. And then, of course, a lot of the death statistics are being skewed by people dying from everything else. Now they say George Floyd had coronavirus, but that's not his cause of death. I mean, it's like everybody has it. Well, everybody's had the flu, or everybody's had some type of coronavirus, maybe not COVID-19. And so they always put that down as one of the primary things they think might be causing the death. And that's why these numbers got skewed up. But the CDC came in and released their statistics, and it's like less than 1% are dying from the COVID-19 as far as the real COVID-19. Does that mean we should stop taking our antioxidants? Absolutely not. And one of the other reasons that it's burnt through and it's not getting as bad as it was is because people now are back in the sunshine. They're back making vitamin D again. This happens every year with the seasonal things like the flu that happens primarily in the winter season because of a lack of vitamin D from the sun. So it's so important that we maintain a healthy immune system, and it's so important, guys, that we practice proper sanitation, including when you're handling pets. I'm not just picking on cats. You could have rabbits, you could have dogs, you could have hamsters, you could have snakes. I don't know what you have, okay? But whatever you do, whatever you handle it, make sure you keep your hands clean. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, except Lady, the studio dog, washes up after I pet her. So, but no, I'm kidding around. You know, look.
Well, I like animals.
Yeah, I do. I like dogs. I mean, dogs are my favorite. But here's my question. I got some cat sound effects for you. I don't know if you can hear that. Never mind. I guess. Anyway. All right. So with, you mentioned, the coronavirus, the Communist Chinese Party virus. We had talked about this at length before, and now you see what's going on, of course. You know, I think last week when I was talking with Austin, we were talking about the curious timing of all this. I was on with David and I earlier today, and I'm telling you, Q, I don't know if you can hear the sound effects.
I hear the cat.
Cue the sound effects. Okay. All right. That's enough. Okay. Anyway, this can't all, the lockdown, the response to the coronavirus, is to me, and then suddenly that got off the front page, right? So the response to the coronavirus, everyone's in their house, locked down, afraid to come out 60 some days or however long it is. And then all of a sudden it's not a thing anymore. And, you know, the politicians said, that's all right. You know, it's the statement from the University of, where was it? University of Washington saying, institutional racism, white supremacy is a legal public health issue that predates and is worse than COVID-19. So yeah, it's okay. Don't social distance. Just go ahead. Everything's fine. So I guess this is all planned, right? Everything we're seeing is planned. We're being gamed. We're chumps. That's my
opinion. Well, you know, the truth is about, well, the truth matter, Doug, is this. I mean, and we've talked about it so many times on the show. There's an overreaching plan on the entire planet to bring us under a one world government, to bring us under 1,000 points of lights, which represent the tree in the Kabbalah. It's this giant snake god that they worship, that they want to resurrect. And, you know, you think, well, that sounds crazy. It sounds crazy to me too. And I don't even want to go there today. But the point is, this group of people have been working on the rebuilding of the Third Temple now for 200 years. They've done everything they possibly can to push this. Let me explain something to you. This is an interesting thing that I've really never discussed with you guys. You know, Satan is not omnipresent, right? He doesn't know what's going to happen. This is why he runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who he may devour. He can't see into the future. See, God's omnipresent. He's at the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's in all timelines. He's omnipresent. He's in everything. His energy field, the energy field of God himself, it permeates everything. And we really can't understand that as humans. So it's best just to say kind of like an energy field, like a magnetic field. But he's more than that. I mean, he's God. He's the creator. And these guys have separated themselves from God in the fall with the angels eons of time ago. They can no longer consume the energy field's nourishment, so to speak, with the energy that's given to us through light photonic energy. And they have to get their energy from some other source, and they do it through human sacrifice, the worship of Baal, Moloch, the sacrifice of children, etc. And the thing that Lucifer has done is he's read the Bible. I can guarantee you he knows the scripture. He quoted the scripture against Jesus when after Jesus had fasted. And he knows what the Bible says. And he also knows what the book of Revelation says. So he knows what prophetically has been spoken. So he is trying to, again, distort the end times and force it into his framework because he's trying to cause inversion. What is good is bad, bad is good. It's what he does because he's doing everything he can to distort God's creatures and God's creation. He hates human beings. I mean, he's number one, he's mad that we've got a soul and he doesn't. Number two, he's mad that we're basically created in God's image, and he's not. So he's unbelievably angry at us to start with, and he's jealous of us on top of everything else. So he's not an omnipresent entity. I mean, it says had the God of this world knew what he was doing, he never would have crucified the Son of Glory because he would never have done that. He never would have put Jesus on the cross to allow Jesus' sacrifice to be done for all of us, for his blood to be shed for all eternity for us, as for the remission of our sins. We've done full shows on the blood of Christ on this broadcast. So what we have here, again, is Lucifer trying to manipulate the end times to bring about what he wants, to try to win the game that he wants to win. Remember, he already did this once in Genesis chapter 6 on this very same planet. He made every thought of every man evil all of the time. He did that through setting up all these pyramids, all of the structures with magnetic ley lines and water effluxes going through these giant pyramids. See, when you take water and you move it at 200 meters per second, it starts creating a blue glow, and it puts out a giant electromagnetic field. Well, then when you do this on top of these ley lines, these magnetic fields already, then it creates a tremendous energy field around the planet, which ties together with the electromagnetic field that we have on this planet. And of course, then God's energy field permeates throughout the entire planet. Well, they don't like God's energy field because they don't get fed from that. They've got to create a negative energy field through the sacrifice of children, 60 million to date now or so in the United States. And this is what we have done as a nation. We've turned and we've sacrificed these children to Lucifer since 73. And now we're sitting here wondering why God Almighty, the great I Am, is saying, you know, about had enough of all this. You guys have just turned your back. And the problem that they had was that the churches, there are a lot of good churches in the United States. And they were having there were millions and millions and millions of Christians going to church every Sunday, and they were praising, worshiping God. And they were creating an energy field that was compatible with the Most High God of their songs and their worship and their praise. And God loves the praises of men, and the energy field was permeating the entire planet. Well, they had to stop that because it was interfering with their satanic stuff. I did a show with you guys a few years ago as 9/11 as a mass satanic sacrifice ritual. We see that the Druid Winston Churchill, I believe, did the same thing with the bombing of Dresden when he killed up, some people say 50,000, some people say 500,000. Who knows how many dead people died in Germany, all the women and children and old men. I don't know. It was right. It was in February in 45. The war was over with. Germany was defeated. Dresden was not a military target. It was a refugee city. But it didn't make any difference. He wanted to offer a blood sacrifice in which he did this. This was Winston Churchill. And, you know, then Winston Churchill, remember, was a 33-degree Mason. Truman was a 33-degree Mason. Stalin was a 33-degree Mason. And they carved up Europe and gave half of it to the Soviet Union. Though the Soviet Union didn't deserve to have communism in half of Europe, but they gave it to them anyhow. Why? Because they wanted to create this revolutionary spirit in all of these Eastern Bloc states. Then they had to figure out how to destroy Germany. That's why millions of Germans were starved to death after World War II. And don't tell me that didn't happen, because it did. My mom was there. And all of this stuff happened, and now we had the Frankfurt School come in, and they pushed this ideology with Gloria Steinem and Playboy magazine and MK Ultra and the LSD and all the stuff, and you know, and Laurel Canyon and all the things they did with the experiments with, you know, all the LSD and the drugs back in the 60s to change the very culture of the United States. And here we are. Now, we as Americans, our parents who allowed this influence to come in and take them over with rock and roll and all the other things that they basically thought were so wonderful at the time, which was being experimented with to destroy the culture, they've allowed their children, who've allowed their children, who've allowed their children now to no longer be true Americans, to no longer understand where the Republic came from. Many schools don't even teach history anymore. Or if they do teach history, they'll start on like 1900 and teach history. And they don't do anything in the background of how our country was founded, or where the Puritans, who the Puritans were, who the Pilgrims were. They don't talk about any of that stuff anymore because they don't want them to know. And so these children, a lot of them can't even tell you who the first president of the United States was or how many world wars there have been. You can watch these guys walk around asking these questions and nobody has any idea. And the problem we have here is now we have a group of kids that think that white people are bad. My daughter, Savannah, the other day, on Tuesday, they were supposed to put out a black screen to basically tell everybody they were in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. And, you know, and I said on our show yesterday, and I'll say it on your show today, and today we talked about the Frankfurt School in depth on our show. But today I said, or yesterday I said, I believe that black lives do matter. But I also believe that white lives matter. And I really think that Russian lives matter, and Chinese lives matter, and Jewish lives matter, and German lives matter, and French lives matter, and all Africa matters. I mean, I believe everybody matters. I believe we're all created in God's image. That's considered racist now. You can't say that. And my daughter basically said that she believed that all lives mattered, and she lost a whole bunch of people that followed her on social media, calling her a racist upon their exit. And now you think about that. Why have we done such a pitiful job in educating our children into the truth? Well, here's why. Because the Frankfurt School came into our university systems, came into our high schools, our secondary systems, our elementary schools, and they basically taught us that there's 50 different genders. You're not a boy, you're not a girl, you can be a sponge today if you want. It doesn't make a difference. And, you know, it doesn't make any difference what you do. You can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't make a difference. And we've broken down the very fabric of our society, which was the goal of the Frankfurt School from Goethe University that left Germany in 1933. And see, this is the problem that we have in the United States. Now, we're still dealing with what our fathers did, our grandfathers did, and why they didn't stand for the Republic. And then you go all the way back to Woodrow Wilson and his nonsense with the banking cabal and what they did and how they took over the United States Federal Reserve. They created the Federal Reserve System, took over the United States banking, and took over the Treasury in 1934 via the Exchange Stability Fund. In fact, there's a little 7-part series that all of you need to watch if you haven't seen it yet on YouTube before it's taken down on the Exchange Stability Fund. Each segment was like 7 minutes long, and it goes into detail explaining the Exchange Stability Fund and what it does to stabilize the United States dollar. And now, of course, it's the petrodollar. And now, of course, it wasn't back then. But they were trying to do that because they were stabilizing it against world currency with gold, et cetera, and how they manipulated this and how a lot of the funding through this Exchange Stability Fund is through the CIA and through the sale of heroin and black ops. And, you know, and Doug, you and I have talked about this repeatedly on your show about the $1.5 trillion in heroin that is being sold every year globally out of Afghanistan. But we're one of the only talk shows, you guys are one of the only talk shows that ever even briefly mentioned that. You know, Donald Trump had 500 square miles of heroin production in Afghanistan that we were protecting when he took office. After he took office, they went to 1,000 square miles of heroin production or poppy production. You say, well, that's crazy. Why'd that happen? Because the deep state runs the United States. This international banking cartel, along with the Bohemian Grove boys and girls, the oligarchy of the corporations, you know, the Council of 300, the Bilderberger Group, all these different people. You know, there's the Council on Foreign Relations who was created from the One World Order, from the League of Nations, which failed. They developed the Bilderberger Group, all brought to us from the international bankers, who are at the highest levels are Kabbalists. They're Luciferians. You know, years ago, I was hosting the Joyce Riley show, and I had Tex Mars on, and he's gone now. May he rest in peace. And he's a great guy, brilliant man. And I was talking to him, and he was saying, well, it's the Jews that are doing this, and the Jews are doing that, and the Jews are doing this. And I stopped him. I said, Tex, I said, Bill Clinton's not Jewish. You know, George Bush isn't Jewish, and Barack Obama's not Jewish. I said, these people are pawns in the game. You can't say the Jews are doing all of this stuff. It's the international Luciferian Kabbalah networks of these people that practice Satanism. They're the ones that are involved in this. You don't have to be Jewish to do that. And he goes, well, that's true. So I got into a kind of an argument with him about it. But see, this is what we have to understand. You don't have to be Jewish or German or British or American or whatever to be part of this. Remember what happened with Smedley Butler in 1933 when we saw that the communist Roosevelt had taken the United States and had been elected during the Great Depression that was caused by the international banking community contracting the M1 money supply, which is the money in circulation, basically calling all these notes due without enough money to pay for it. Massive depression, huge land grab they did that basically – they wanted to bring fascism into the United States, and Prescott Bush, Senator Prescott Bush then, came in and tried to hire Smedley Butler, who was the most decorated soldier of World War I, had 2 Congressional Medals of Honor, who tried to get him to come in and start a coup and bring in fascism to the United States, to bring the type of government that Hitler had put in Germany in the U.S. This is Prescott Bush. You know, he wasn't Jewish. You know, newsflash. All of these different people are working together in unison to create this one world order, this weird thing that took the ancient Canaanite religions, the ancient Egyptian mythology, combined it all into the Zohar, created a religion or a group of people who practice Kabbalah, and this is the esoteric religion forms that basically have spawned all of this witchcraft and all of this weird stuff all over the planet, trying to bring in their one world government and their serpent god. That's what's really going on. You think, well, that sounds nuts. I know it sounds nuts. I agree with you. I think it's totally Looney Tunes. The problem is, Doug, whether I think it's nuts or you're thinking nuts, these guys believe this stuff and they're willing to die for it. They want that third temple and they want to bring that Antichrist onto the scene. Just like the book of Thessalonians says, he's going to go out onto the temple steps and declare himself God. Well, now, Lucifer's read this. So Lucifer would love to have that third temple rebuilt. You guys just do the math there so he can bring his son of perdition onto this planet. And he knows that's the way it's supposed to happen because he's read the book. So he's trying to fulfill scripture in a way that's going to make his fight, his war, win. So that's what's going on because he's not omnipresent. And that's what he's trying to do with all of his Kabbalah wizards and warlocks and witches. They're trying to create an energy field through us, around us with 5G, that'll connect us with nanoparticles to basically make us reading, sending, writing units from a radio wave standpoint, to tie us into a 5G computer, to tie us into a D-Wave computer, to basically tie us into an interdimensional interface with Lucifer. This is the same thing he did back in the old days when we first started talking about this with the pyramids and all the ley lines. And God pulled the planet apart, basically pulled the continents apart, caused tectonic plate shifting, and turned all that stuff off. It was taking them thousands of years now to put it back together again. Now they're finding out that these vaccines that they're producing for us, like the Moderna vaccine volunteer says he was sickest in his life after being injected with the vaccine, and now they're finding out they're contaminated with heavy metal toxicity. I mean, this is what John Rappaport just came out with a really good article and said these things are loaded with heavy metals, and they also barium and aluminum. It says dangerous nanoparticles contaminate many vaccines. These nanoparticles are probably piezoelectric crystals, which are designed to be radio transmitter units that are going to tie into our central nervous system and basically broadcast our DNA or our location. You know, back in the 50s, they discovered that human beings put out a really weak radio wave that can be picked up 4 to 5 miles away from with a large antenna without this stuff in them. You know, in the old days, he had a kid one time in elementary school. He had so many mercury fillings in his mouth. And I'm just going to sound weird to you guys who don't or never heard of this. Sometimes you could actually hear radio waves and basically radio broadcasts coming out of his mouth. It was really kind of strange that he had that many, had that much mercury and that many fillings in his mouth. And you think, well, that sounds crazy. You actually get radio signals coming through like that. Well, yeah, the whole planet's made of energy. The whole universe is made of energy. And God's energy field permeates all of that, except for Satan and those guys that are a distortion, kind of like a virus. And they can no longer use that energy field for nourishment. And they've got to distort the energy fields around them, causing fear, hatred, bitterness, murder, child sacrifice, in order to consume the energy from the innocents that are being sacrificed. And this is the way it's been now for thousands of years. And that's why Jesus said, think on the good things. Don't think of these negative things. Don't think of these bad things. So you say, well, this all sounds nuts. Yeah, I know. That's why we have millions of kids go missing every year. That's why Jeffrey Epstein was exposed. And suddenly after he got exposed, Donald Trump gets himself impeached, which took Jeffrey Epstein completely out of the news. So supposedly Jeffrey Epstein dies, which I don't believe for 1 second he's dead, because Mossad does not kill Mossad. And now all of a sudden, you know, Donald Trump's impeachment, you know, goes sideways. Now they got to keep busy with something else. They start the COVID stuff, which was a very real virus. It killed some people over in China. But personally, what I think this was, Doug, this is my opinion. I think they developed a vaccine in China with this, quote, COVID product. And they injected it to a whole bunch of people there in Wuhan. And those people in Wuhan started shedding the vaccine, like we shed live measles vaccine, a live polio vaccine, and they started contaminating the general population and made it possible to transmit it from human to human. And that's why we had so many people die in Wuhan and in China. That's what I think happened. And I think that's what these guys are probably working on, some type of template to do that again with another vaccine to allow a massive reduction in the world's population, because their whole goal here is eugenics. The systematic reduction of the people on the planet to reduce us to about 500 million people. That's what I've been to the Georgia Guidestones. I've got pictures of me standing in front of the Georgia Guidestones, and it says that in multiple languages. They want 500 million people to live on the planet in perpetuity, and they want the rest of the planet basically to be snuffed out. I guess like we watched with George Floyd, this is his snuff film, which, by the way, again, is another really weird thing, because different angles of that video show different people standing who aren't standing in the other angles. So a lot of that stuff is very strange, how that film was released and what the purpose was. Was it to create riots? Was it another false flag? I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea what they're doing. And it's just that a lot of stuff they do, Doug, when you look at it in retrospect, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, why in the world would St. Louis now turn loose the rioters that broke into people's homes and businesses and stole stuff and damaged and destroyed many parts of St. Louis and have them already back out on the streets to do it again? Why would police departments be disbanded? Why would New York drop $1 billion off their police budget to reduce the amount of people they have her police officers in the middle of massive riots? It's almost as if these democratic cities that are communist controlled want to bring in that new world order through chaos, just like they brought in communism into Russia when they killed the Tsar and his family, and they had these riots in the street all the time. And I find the whole thing fascinating that they're following the exact same template they did 100 years ago in Russia. The problem is the people of the United States, because they haven't studied history, especially if they haven't studied, you know, the history of Russia, they don't know what these people did. There's a really good book you could read, and I don't agree with all of it, but it's a good book. It's free online. It's called, it's for Topper Saucy, and it's called Rulers of Evil. Topper Saucy, Rulers of Evil. It's an excellent book, and everybody needs to read it. I've read it. It's a great book. It actually goes into detail about the Russian Revolution, who these people were, why what they did what they did, and what their end goal was, Doug.
You know, a couple of things you mentioned there, obviously. That was an information-packed monologue there. You had mentioned about protesters, or not protesters, but anarchists being released. And I call them anarchists mm-hmm. because that's what they are. You know,
that's exactly right.
You look back just at the last week or so. David Underwood, an African-American law enforcement officer, was killed in a drive-by shooting. He was protecting a courthouse in Oakland. So four other active duty police were shot in St. Louis that night. Three officers were run over in Buffalo, just 90 miles from where I sit. In fact, I know exactly where this occurred, all right? One NYPD officer was run over in the Bronx, another in Greenwich Village. You have a Vegas cop who was shot in the head, and he's on life support. What about the anarchists who are in jail? Or what about the anarchists? D.C. police, for those keeping score at home, arrested about 106 protesters. This was rioters. This was last Friday. Or I'm sorry, Friday. It would be Friday through Monday. Okay, 106. But the local prosecutor dropped all the charges. Most of the charges. 400 anarchists looters in New York City. They were arrested. Most are being processed to be released without bail. One woman who tossed a Molotov cocktail inside the police van was charged with, not with attempted murder, but with damaging property. You've got this taking place over and over and over again. Bill de Blasio called on one cop to be fired for actually drawing his weapon in self-defense, or actually defending his superior. All right, so. Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez solicited the public to send videos of police brutality. You've got, so what the hell's going on here? I mean, you've got the media.
Remember,
everything. I mean,
remember when you and I, Mankow, did that show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it's not Donald Trump who's in charge. You know, Donald Trump didn't shut the planet down. Donald Trump didn't close down the world economic engine. He didn't do that. You know, Donald Trump didn't cause the coronavirus. Donald Trump didn't cause this rioting and this looting. Now, mind you, some of his tweets have been pretty inflammatory. He probably is so frustrated because they've hamstrung him so badly and not letting him do anything that he lashes out on his Twitter feed. That's the only thing I can understand, because some of the stuff he says is crazy. Like, you've got people that are rioting and you're calling them stupid idiots and lowlifes. There's a high probability that's not going to calm things down. It's going to make it worse. I don't know why he's doing that, but I know from a business standpoint, you know, we've seen, you know, sales drop off. We've seen the economy slow down. We've had rehiring now because some people have been back to work and they're making a big brouhaha about that. A couple million people got rehired, but they haven't realized yet that this continued breaking of the economy of the world by the international banking cartels to prevent the hyperinflation of the petrodollar, to allow the M1 money supply to be increased exponentially without having the velocity of money go up to prevent inflation, that this stuff is just putting band-aids on all of this mess. Now we have Antifa and Black Lives Matter protests all across Europe, the UK, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, and let's not forget Syria. I mean, this is crazy. In Poland, all over the place. New Zealand, indicating a high level of organization, coordination, and funding. Of course it is. And, of course, George Soros has always said that he's the one who's doing this, but he's a Rothschild cutout. That means he's been funded by the Rothschild banking cartel and interests. On Wednesday, rioters in Greece hurled firebombs towards the U.S. Embassy in Athens. Antifa and Black Lives Matter professionals have taken to the streets of London. On Wednesday, scuffles broke out in front of number 10 Downing Street, and tens of thousands of people attended a rally to express solidarity with American protesters and against inequalities in the British society. Again, this is all being orchestrated to bring in a new world order. Now, here it is. George Soros, funded the prosecutor, releases all St. Louis rioters from jail. I mean, this is immediately they were taken out of jail. Enraged Italians are abandoning their masks and they're denouncing the pandemic as a scam that was used to destroy Italy. I mean, this goes on and on and on. The goal of corporations funding Black Lives Matter is abolishing police, which is the rule of law, prisons, which is going to turn criminals loose, which they've already done with the COVID, and destroying families. It's all back to the Frankfurt School. Many corporations and tech companies have announced large donations to the Black Lives Matter Foundation, including Cisco Systems, Airbnb, Dropbox, video games maker Ubisoft, Pepsi, and Bank of America. Intel pledged $1 million to various anti-racism groups and is pressuring its employees to donate money to the Black Lives Matter Foundation. The Black Lives Matter Foundation launched a petition last week to defund all police departments across the country. Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors wants to abolish prisons. Another goal of Black Lives Matter is to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure, all Frankfurt School communism teaching. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund is blaming cops for the violence caused by rioters and calling for the immediate releasing of violent destroyers from jail. I mean, this isn't getting any better.
I just want to.
This is getting worse.
No, I want to punch in here too, because people have to understand what Black Lives Matter is. This was okay. The Antifa came first, and that goes back into the last century, into the early years of the last century. Black Lives Matter. It was established as this online presence by three Muppets. Patrice Cullors, you talked about, who's a lesbian. She calls herself a queer. Alicia Garza and Opal Tometi. Look at the backgrounds of these three mopes. And their stated objective is to stoke this black rage, to galvanize the protest movement and to institute, yes, Marxism in this country. So they're piggybacking off of Antifa. So, and they, in response allegedly to Trayvon Martin, is how this all came about. But three Muppets, three black American, well, one of those, I think, was it Tometi or Garza, or could have been Cullors, I'm not sure, came in from, was born out of the country, but nonetheless. So, yeah. Of course, hands up, don't shoot. That's a BLM motto. So, you know what really hacks me off, though? I mean, to no end, is these people who kneel in the presence of, kneel.
Not for me
them.
Too. Oh, my gosh.
Are you serious? I mean, get off your knees. Get off your
bowing down.
There's only one time I'll kneel. Anyway. All of this, yeah.
And what's happening, and this goes back to what I talked about earlier about Satan not being omnipresent. Remember, he doesn't know what's going to work and what's not going to work. He's not clairvoyant. I mean, he can't predict the future like that. Now, he can use beta testing, and he can use an AI computer, and he can try to figure all of this stuff out with algorithms. He can do that, and it's pretty accurate in some cases. But he's not sure. That's why he's pushing against soft spots. He's always pushing against soft spots to see where he can go, see what he can push, to see what he can overthrow, to see what he can take over. And one of the biggest soft spots we've had now in the United States are the churches. The churches have gone quietly into the night. Now they're telling the churches that they can only go back to worship if they practice social distancing, not more than 100 people in the church, and they have to have reservations in advance, and that they're all going to be tracked with everybody who comes in, and they have to sign out, make reservations, and bring a list of everybody who goes with them and comes with them to church. It's basically going to destroy the Christian church in the United States, which is what they needed to do because they had to stop that energy field from emanating from the church. I mean, Europe doesn't go to church very much anymore. They don't have to worry about that in Europe. They don't care about that in Europe. They don't go to church. I mean, in Europe, if you go to church, you get charged 10% on your income tax. If you make $100,000 a year in Europe, you get charged $10,000 if you attend a church, and the government distributes that $10,000 to anywhere they want to distribute it to, any church they want. You're automatically taxed for going to church, which has pretty much stopped everybody from going to church in Europe. The same thing is true all over the world. The churches and the Christian faith is floundering because we are no longer teaching the truth of what the Bible says. We are no longer having men in the pulpit who are willing to say what needs to be said because they're tied up in their 501(c) corporations. They know that they're a government institution. You know, Planned Parenthood is a 501(c) corporation. And if they don't promote the public good and as dictated to them by the federal government, they'll take their 501(c) status away. You know, when that happened in the 50s with Lyndon Johnson, it was one of the greatest travesties ever that happened in the American population. And now they're doing that giant deduction for families that basically have really reduced the amount of money people give to churches now since Donald Trump had those tax laws changed. It's been horrible for the local churches. And now I've got friends of mine who have churches. They're closing left and right. Pastors are committing suicide, which is sad because it speaks badly of their relationship with Christ. But all of these things are happening because we've got pansies in the pulpit who are wearing lace on their panties in the pulpit, and they don't tell the truth of what's going on. They refuse to get into this thing from a political standpoint. They won't talk about the international banking cartels. They won't talk about the Kabbalists. They won't talk about any of this stuff, and they've watched their institution be completely destroyed because they're unwilling to stand up. It was the black robe clergy. The ones who basically were the ones who pushed for the, basically for the Revolutionary War in 1773, 4, 5, and 6 to get rid of King George, who told the truth because King George owned the presses, the newspapers in the colonies, and the pastors in the pulpit. They were like another regiment. They'd get up there every Sunday and say, this isn't right. This isn't right. This is tyranny. We don't have to live like this. We came to this country for freedom of religion. We can't be told we can and can't do it, can and can't say. We won't put up with it. And we don't have the right to vote in England. This is nuts. And they basically overthrew it and got the British Redcoats out, which was the strongest standing army in the world at that time. And so we have to understand, when the pastors stopped doing this, when the pastors stopped getting involved politically, and they were muzzled in the pulpits, and they allowed themselves to be muzzled, this is what happened. There are pastors all over who still tell the truth, and their churches are doing fine. And many of them never closed down during the COVID thing. I know one right now in Lakeland. I'm sorry, over in Haines City. And the sad part about all of this stuff is why do we not have more men telling the truth? It's like back in the 80s and the 90s. You know, I did a seminar on a TV and radio show. It was called The Top 10 Foods Never to Eat. I've done it on this show several times. And I was one of the only people 40 years ago telling the people the truth about hydrogenated oils, trans fats. And people say, well, you can't say that. You can't say that. I'm like, I've got to tell people the truth. And guys, if you tell the truth, you don't have to apologize for it. If you stand for the word of God, you can be proud of what you did. I mean, what are you going to do? Lay in your deathbed when you're 80 years old and say, I refuse to tell the truth from my pulpit. And now my country is lost and my parishioners were taken out back and shot. Before they were shot, they were told to dig a hole for themselves. And I told them that it'd be okay to follow the rules of the government. Is that where you want to be when you're 80 years old if you're a pastor? It's not godly. It's not being a man. You got to protect your family. You got to protect your friends. You got to protect your businesses. You got to protect your churches. You're their shepherd, for heaven's sakes. You can't allow them to have this happen to them. And you've got to stand against this stuff in the pulpit. And if you won't, you're going to get social distancing. You're going to allow 100 people to come in. And where's Donald Trump's executive order? Where's his executive order saying we're not going to have any social distancing in churches? We're not going to have any restrictions on the amount of people in churches. I'm signing an executive order, whether it goes through, whether it's held up in the courts, I don't know, but I'm going to stop this to the best of my ability. Where's that? I haven't seen that yet. I'm still waiting for that one. See, this is what we have to do. We have to stand in the gap for the people who don't have a voice. And that's what alt radio has done. That's what alt media has done. And that's why they've done everything they possibly can to censor us. That's why I want to thank you guys for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us and getting your toothpaste from us. Because when you do that for us, it allows us to support and be a sponsor of the Hagman broadcast and a bunch of other shows that we support. Because, guys, if we don't support one another right now, if we don't continue to help fund alt media for people who like Doug Hagman who tell the truth and the Ted and Austin Brower show, where are we going to be in 10 years? Are we all going to be locked in our houses because of social distancing and having our refrigerators and our TV sets spy on us? And if we say something that they don't like, the refrigerator's going to call the police and say, hey, Doug Hagman just said this. And the TV's going to go, yeah, I heard him too. And the refrigerator's going to go, yeah, I chime in on that one. You're like, what the heck? What are you talking about? All of this stuff is being with smart electronics and smart appliances. All of this stuff's being connected with microphones and speakers. All this stuff's going to start spying on you. Guys, I'm just telling you the truth. And they're going to be this giant police state around the United States tied into a 5G system that's going to monitor everything, every single thing that you do, Doug.
Boy, a dose of truth there. Support this platform by shopping at Health Masters, supporting Health Masters, shopping there. Healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. HR5 is a coupon code, at least till Monday night, on non-sale items. The best supplements on the planet. Of course, the best radio program, Ted and Austin Brower Show, Monday through Friday, here on Global Star. Thank you, Ted. Gotta go. That'll be it.
Gotta go. Thank you, Ted.
All right. Patreon meeting for patrons this Sunday. Patreon meeting this Sunday. Watch your inboxes for the link. Looking forward to it. God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.